Goodness, at this 21st day of February, when the sunshine is going to be coming out, but it's cold and there was an ice day for lots of Northern Michigan schools out there. You want to get out of here.
An ice day.
Ice day.
Right? As if a snow day isn't enough. An ice day.
And you know what? It's not so, I didn't think it was so bad. Now, Colleen, you were coming in real early. What did you think?
You know, I shouldn't say because my commute was fine, but I did hear it was the secondary roads, which usually makes sense because everything thawed yesterday. Very big weather.
Yeah, and left a
then
lot
everything froze overnight.
Hot
so
holes.
Places that
weren't
cleaned, completely had a lot of ice, even those that were.
Right, exactly. And everyone's just doing ice baby, you know, all the way down. But, you know, this is the thing with the Travel Authority, and we have Bonnie Pintozzi in with us today, as we do every Wednesday. Bonnie, people start to look at their calendars, and they see that they're going to have to flip from February to March soon, and March means spring break. And so people are like, well, good, I'll just get out of here at spring break. And Bonnie Pintozzi, you want to say, Oh, you think you're gonna, huh?
Well, we're really trying to be a little gentle when we say this because we get a call and it's just like, well, yeah, we're thinking about leaving March 24th or whatever. And we start looking at and it's like, well, okay, so we want to go here,
yeah.
And we go, okay.
We want to get you there.
We want to get you there. We want to gently talk about how flexible you are and all that stuff. But the bottom line is, if you're going to get out somehow, it's going to cost you. This is not you're not going to be looking at deeply discounted rates. That happened months and months ago when people had availability and we were able to get the space. We have clients who'll say, "I don't care. I'm going to spend whatever I need to spend." And some are actually buying first class air out of some cities just to be able
to
do
out.
That. Exactly. And it is the air. And it's not that we don't supply enough seats. I mean, we're never going to have enough seats for these prime types of dates of travel. I mean, we do our best at Cherry Capital. We look at all the airports. I mean, so it's like one of these things, even, okay, we go down to Detroit because we know. If you live here and you plan on going away at spring break time period, you need to be making reservations a long time ago. And that really kind of happens a lot more in the fall. Mm-hmm. And we actually have clients who come in the summertime and say, yeah, this is really what I want to do. Let's get this going.
Now, can you think about how you're feeling at this moment right now and say, this is what I want to be doing this time next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's exactly, I mean, there's a lot of repeat type of, I like this destination we go to, our families, our friends, we all kind of gather. Or it's really, you know, just tell me what are some of the destinations. And a lot of them are the similar ones that are always popular. You know, if you take Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, instance, you take Orlando, okay.
Oh, people are still going there, huh?
They do go there. Las Vegas. I mean, these are the top, these are the ones that people, Nassau in the Bahamas. Cancun, obviously, is a big one, okay. And you just start going down that list of destinations, Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. I mean, these are the ones that there are some charter flights that sometimes go out of in Lansing, but they sell out quickly, too. So if you're out there and you're going, oops, I was supposed to maybe do this a few months ago, we'll try our best. But believe it or not, you are going to pay for that type of price to do it. That last minute is not last minute deal.
So this idea that you go, you know what, I'm just going to see if anything's really, really cheap right at the last minute and I'll just go there. That doesn't happen.
Not much. You might find something on some obscure site or whatever be the case. Or you might find, okay, here's a land package for da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But if you're going to fly there, you got to get there. And when the flights are as tight as they are and availability is tight, the airlines aren't going to deeply discount an airfare.
Right.
Do you ever just kind of search around for something else, though? I remember you guys helping me some years ago, and it was something like this. I wanted to go to some really popular place at some really popular time. Mm-hmm. But we had some flexibility. And we were looking through what's available, and, you know, I was saying Orlando, no, Fort Lauderdale, no, Tampa, no. I said, well, what is available?
Mm-hmm.
And check a little bit. well, how about Puerto Rico?
Right.
I went, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So
well, the word that Colleen used was flexibility.
Flexibility is a major part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be late to the game, you should try to be flexible,
right.
I think.
I mean, we don't want to disappoint. We never want to disappoint somebody. But there's a reality check pops in there at some point in time. But if you are flexible, if you don't have to go during spring break, maybe you just want to get away and do a winter break.
Maybe it's the week before spring break.
Yeah, we'll work with you on that. But when everybody wants, and especially the way Easter fell and everything like that, it's all the availability.
Easter's early this year.
Right. And you might see a great cruise deal. We see them. We see more than probably the average person sees, okay? So you might see this wonderful cruise deal, but then you got to get there somehow.
To Fort Lauderdale to get out of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I want to tell people, once again, reiterate that if you are just getting around to your spring break planning, you can still call the travel authority.
Oh,
you can still call a travel agent. But just understand, you're going to want to be flexible with dates, locations, and times.
Right, exactly. You know, and if you just want to get away someplace maybe warm, or maybe there's some sort of activity you want to do as a family.
Right.
You know, let us know. But believe me, when we tell you that the space is tight.
We're not making it up.
No, we would love to get you there. And honestly, we get the call that normally somebody has been all over the web and can't understand for the life of them what half that means anyway. And they say, we're confused. Well, that's what we do. So I'm glad you called us, but we want to make sure we can help you. And we're disappointed when we can't.
I want to talk about booking trips and, you know, just the ease of utilizing a travel agent. Mm-hmm. And something that I came across actually was in a really great article out of NBC Seattle about how millennials are redefining the travel industry, one Instagram at a time, of course. But the really interesting thing is that this do-it-yourself generation that has grown up with technology, they are going to travel agents like never before, like no other generation. Mm-hmm. And Bonnie, you and I were talking about this during the right before the segment started. And the reason is that this is a generation of people who understand how valuable their time is.
Absolutely. And they realize that it's not costing them more.
No.
It's actually most of the time can save them money by using a professional travel agent. And they want to just have those experiences. You know, they grew up traveling.
Yeah.
They want their children. They want to travel as a family. And so we see it every day. And we weren't quite sure years ago when this generation came about. We, you know, because everyone said, oh, they're just going to do everything on the internet. I mean, they're going to take control completely. You know, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some do. But a lot of them don't, and it's exciting that we get to work with people who truly are, you know, are so excited about that too.
Well, it's really interesting that you put it that way too, because what happens is, let's say you do it yourself and you use one of those online sites or whatever, and you confirm everything, and you don't have that extra set of eyes maybe that's confirming everything. And I literally heard this story from a friend who confirmed a trip. And the airfare and everything was on time. They got to the hotel. Oh, and it was a year from then. She had put in the wrong date.
Oh, my.
And she didn't have a place to stay because there were no other eyes looking at this.
I've never heard of something this bad.
Yeah.
Did she have family with her all packed?
She had everything ready to go, and they had to go, and they had to find something. They were able to get into that hotel the next day, but they had to go find something because she said, I did it myself, and I got everything right. With the airfare.
But you're not covered.
She wasn't covered because she had it booked, but it was booked for a different year.
And that's interesting. What we stress, highly stress, we want to go over those documents with our clients.
Yes.
We want to make sure that when we're making a reservation, you're only human. We say, please take a look at this. Is this correct?
Yeah.
Are these your dates? Are these names spelled correctly? All those things. And the other thing that is hard to understand is sometimes when changes can be made on an airline ticket or something be the case, and the airlines charge a $200 fee, that's the airlines who charge that. The travel agency is not charging that, the airlines. So you want to make sure that you are looking at the names, you're looking at the dates, all of that, because you want to make sure that everything that we're all doing together is correct too.
Well, and this is, I think it's just really interesting, this statistic, and to reiterate that the younger people, the people, the generation of mm-hmm. people who could potentially just do everything they want to do online, they understand their time is valuable.
Yes.
They know how long it takes to just try to plan a trip. Mm-hmm. Because it really does take a long time, the DIY approach. Mm-hmm. And so when you see 14% increase in about 2 years of people utilizing travel agents, and that the majority of those customers are millennials,
yes,
this is, you know, you kind of have to learn something from the technology generation and go, all right, it's time for me to do this too.
Yeah, it can kind of make sense. I think it takes one time. Like your friend doing yeah. it on
oh,
her own.
She will
say,
never do that again.
Oh, I'm never going to do this.
Right.
Or they, you know, and you can go on a website and you can see the most gorgeous picture of where you're going, the hotel, whatever be the case.
Yeah.
And you might get there and go, is this the same one?
Yep.
So it's kind of, that's the importance of how we select also vendors, mm-hmm. suppliers that we use, because, you know, the credibility is there. A couple things that come up, because now we're talking about travel, and if you know, and we really want to take care of it, but a lot of people are making reservations for summer, for fall, for all, you name it, all mm-hmm. over the board. A question I get all the time is tipping.
Oh yeah.
So, okay, now you have your plans. Now you're ready to go. Okay, so let's start with an obvious thing: the very nature of the word tip. Okay, dates back to the 1600s and means to give or to share. Okay, so we understand now what a tip is, right?
To give or to share. So sometimes it's advice.
It's advice, right. So in our mind, these are recommendations, let's say, for airports, okay? A rental car shuttle driver, you know, who picks you up, helping you with those heavy suitcases, you know, it is a good idea to tip maybe at least $1 or $2 per bag.
Okay,
appreciate that, okay? The hotels, okay, are you arriving by a taxi or a limo? Absolutely, you probably tip your driver, unless it's included in the price that they quote you, especially for a limo, that gratuities are included.
Really?
Okay? Yeah. The taxi drivers receive anywhere from 15 to 20% if it's good service.
Okay.
Now, remember, it's to tip or to share, and if they didn't share great service with you, think about that.
So if you don't have great service, you don't have to feel pressured to give them 20%.
No, you don't. It's just like a restaurant, honestly. I mean, you hopefully you're getting that service.
Yeah, with the restaurant, though, sometimes you have the good service, but maybe the kitchen is backed up and it's really not
right,
the fault.
Right, it is not
you
the
know?
Fault. Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
But okay, so now you drive your own car and you're going to stop at the hotel and let them valet it or let them get the bags out and things like that. There's a question that always comes up there. So the coming or going, indefinitely going, tipping $2 to $5 when the valet retrieves your car, when you're leaving a hotel for sightseeing, that's when you can tip, okay? Do they expect it? To some degree, okay. But that's when you should be maybe doing it.
Hmm.
The bellman.
Okay,
that always comes up. Okay, now they're going to bring my bags up. Okay, they're gonna maybe
it's a service of the hotel.
But they're also going to maybe store my bag because my room's not ready.
Yeah,
could be anywhere from $3 to $5 a bag. Okay.
Okay, and you know, what if you encounter, and I see this in the movies,
mm-hmm.
where the person will be standing there, like mm-hmm. you know, reminding you that you should probably tip me. It doesn't happen as often in real life as it does on the movies, right?
Right. Honestly, as much as I have traveled, I've never had somebody stand there and go, I've always ready for that, you know, because I feel that that's the service that they give. The concierge at a hotel is an important part of, depending on the type of hotel you're in. A concierge will give you advice on restaurants. A concierge will make reservations at restaurants. A concierge can give you all sorts of ideas. That is entirely up to you, but if you've gotten that great service, you can do anything from maybe $5 to $10, depending on the type of hotel you're staying in.
Okay.
This everyone doesn't think of, okay? I can tell you, the hotel maid that's taking care of your room deserves a tip, according to all the statistics.
Yes.
And most suggest anywhere from $2 to $5 a day, okay?
Yeah.
Not a per person, but $2 to $5 a day, okay?
Yeah. And you know what they don't like
mm-hmm.
is when you leave your empty bottles as the tip.
Oh, truly. Or
my mom was in housekeeping for a number of years, mm-hmm. and she would be like, oh, well, they left, you know, a lot of beer bottles that I got to take back, but that's not for your tip.
They appreciate the tip for sure. And depending on if you're staying in a high-end hotel, and some hotels, if you're staying in, have butler service, mm-hmm. you know, you can do tipping there. But that's really indicative of what you are doing. Okay, now I'm going to go on a cruise.
Yeah, let's go on a cruise.
We're going to go on a cruise.
Sometimes
right?
it's included, right?
Sometimes it is included. And if you take a cruise line like Regent or Seabourn, they have a no tipping policy
yeah.
because they include everything in it. But the tipping policy of the cruise line varies, okay? So $12 a day per person, $24 for two people in a cabin for gratuities. That money's kind of split between the crew members that you really come in contact with, the housekeeping staff, the dining staff, things like that. You can decide what you want to do that way. But you need to also understand that some of the cruise lines include gratuities in your bill. So they're automatically included. And that's part of understanding as the process of documents, right. so you know. And so you might be actually having a $12 per day in automatically in when you're leaving the cruise line. Okay, it's included in that. So spa treatments, you can decide if you want to do maybe $15 or something like that. But it's basically up to you to decide. But there is a general feeling that it is something expected. So I just wanted to give, we're going to be packing, ready to go to some places. And, you know, sometimes these are questions I'm asked all the time.
So you could
what
be,
what should I do?
I mean, the deal is you want to know going in what is expected, you know, what is kind of the deal with tipping. And you don't want to be that guy that doesn't tip at all, right?
Yeah. I've done enough groups into hotels. I've done enough meetings where we've had conventions and planned all that. I will tell you that there are some real vital people. Mm. From the day I walk into a hotel and they're delivering like 50, 60 boxes for our meeting and stuff, we take care of a lot of guys. And,
yeah.
And the concierges are vital to everything.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's a good relationship. And I think that they really work, you know, on your behalf considerably and do a lot of things in a hotel. So just think about that. The other thing, before we lose time here, is the processing times for a passport.
Oh, boy, yes.
Boy, does that come up a lot, right? Okay, now I've made my decision. I want to go someplace. And we're going to ask you, do you have a passport? Because you can't go unless you have it. And so we don't want to make those reservations that way. A routine processing time, 4 to 6 weeks. Now, that could be a brand new passport, okay, or a renewal, okay? Expedited. 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm dealing directly with the passport service. Mm-hmm. I'm not dealing it through a company.
Right.
And expedite it maybe 8 business days. But if you need some of this stuff done, there are services out there, and we are aware of those services that can get these things done in like 24, 48 hours.
Okay.
You don't want to do that. They are expensive. They're not an inexpensive thing to do. So you want to make sure you're leaving the time to do it. Now would be a very good time if you're traveling in 2018. We're going to go up a little bit in April, the cost of this, like $10 here or there for passport fees. But in general, get it done.
Yeah, it's not a huge increase.
No, it's not a huge increase, but get it done because passports last 10 years.
Yeah, so it's a really good value if you're paying, you know, for a passport. And for those of the folks out there that are, you know, maybe wanting the passport and the passport card.
Yes.
That's a great value as well, right?
You can get it all. That is as well. Now, remember, the difference between the passport, that's for your international travel, okay? That's going anywhere. The passport card is entering the United States at a land border crossing and seaports of entry from Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Bermuda.
So if you're staying in this hemisphere...
Yes. Yes.
But I mean, the reality though is if you're going to, maybe you have a passport card and a passport book if you travel a lot, mm-hmm. and you can use the card when you're traveling that way.
Right. Your border crossings, whatever be the case. But if you're going to travel, just get the passport.
Get the full book. It's good for 10 years.
It's good for 10 years and it makes some sense to do it. But don't wait.
Yeah.
I hate to see you spend more money than you have to.
Right. Exactly. Well, all good advice from our resident mind travel guru, Bonnie Pintozzi, who is here from the Travel Authority, an all-tour company, which is fantastic. You have lots of clients out there that sing your praises, and for a good reason, because everybody over at the Travel Authority is doing a great job getting people where they need to go.
Yeah, a remarkable group of people who have been with our company for many, many years.
That'll tell you something about that company, too.
Yes, definitely.
That people like to stay there.
Yeah, and really, we have a great team.
All right, well, thank you so much, Bonnie Pintozzi. We're going to do a little ice, baby, because it is a little slippery out there, especially on the secondary roads.